What's up, you guys, and welcome back to That Chick Angel TV and another installment of The Bald and the Beautiful. Y'all already know who's here. We got Kev on stage. We've got Mrs. Kev on stage, also known as Melissa Fredericks. We got my husband, Marcus Sangsley, also known as Marcus Saint on the gram. And me, That Chick Angel, who possibly by the time this airs will have her 100,000. Woo!
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited. It's been 12 years coming. Lord help me. It's always sad when I hear people be like, yeah, it started last year. We hit 100,000 in about 3 months. I'm like,
oh, I suck.
But anyways, real
blue,
quick.
Only sometimes.
Blue balls. Blue balls. This mukbang is full of Americana food from the stand. We've got burgers. We've got fries. We've got milkshakes. And we've got friends. And some and some flavored sparkling wine. We have Wilson Creek's watermelon, which we want to open because Melissa's excited about it.
Uh-huh. You want me to open?
And then we have peach Bellini.
Oh, ooh, she likes that too.
Mm-hmm. No, look at you. You don't know which one you want.
They're kind of. I feel torn in my spirit.
Torn in your spirit.
And we have Amara trying to chime
Let
in
him
as
out.
Usual.
Let me get him. Let me get him.
Release the Kraken. Release.
This is why I don't like saying well. This ain't well. This is burned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't cook it too much.
They're like, well, I'll show you.
Okay.
Don't take it personally. When you say,
well done.
When you do medium well at a steakhouse, they'll take it personally and burn it.
They're like, oh.
They're like medium rare, or medium.
But anything else? Mm-mm. So, I think this episode, because there was a post that I was trying to make here recently. On my Instagram, and I wasn't able to like word it well, but I was like, you know what, we could talk about it on the mukbang. We'll talk about friendship. Yes, perfect timing, Kevin. Perfect timing. Friendship. As you all, I think, are aware, me and Kevin had met each other professionally prior to the pandemic, and then I got to meet Melissa also professionally. I had her on Mommy Confessions. And me and Marcus, on one of our podcasts, we had talked about we didn't have many couple friends left. There were a lot of them going through divorce. Mm-hmm. The ones that we have from back home, they're back home. So it's like, you know, hey, boy, it's not that easy. So, like, for you guys, y'all have been out here for 8 years. What has that been like?
Man, it has been 8 years.
Mm-hmm. What has that been like trying to make friends, and where do you feel like it has landed you as far as in how you all make friends, especially now that y'all are the Fredrickses, y'all are the on stages for real. It's a little different. Like, y'all, you know, some people might have knew who Kevin was when he first got out here, but like now, you know, y'all on a different level. Y'all did tours together.
We did. Well, you want to go first? We ain't had no friends, really. At first, it was just me, Liz, and the boys. Mel and Greg, we spent a lot of time with. They moved here when? 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Mel?
About 3 inches.
Because Kim was B5 or mm-hmm. 6.
Kim's about B5 this year. Whatever, 2021.
Was she born out here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She was born here.
Mel moved out here, started working at Netflix on my birthday 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. So that's all y'all
2016.
Had? So what were y'all doing?
Yeah,
what?
2016.
Going to the movies. We did hang out with Scotty and Dee.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty used to play in a band at Nick Jackson's room in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to go to Taco Tuesday over their house and stuff, but they moved way out.
They move far.
They move like, but the combination of them moving and us starting going tour
mm-hmm.
is really what we stopped hanging and talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. Mm-hmm. Because we was gone so much. We used to go Taco Tuesday and I used to work at All Death before the tour.
Mm-hmm.
We should do Taco Tuesday maybe once a month for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. We could have homemade shells and stuff. But once we started touring and then they moved out far, it was like, it was hard. It's hard to go out to the IE on a weekday.
The IE is hard to go out to any day, even for vacation.
And it's pre-pandemic,
it's still
so
the
it was,
IE.
You know,
traffic.
It could be 2.5 hours. We had our IE show out there in Ontario.
You was in a different state.
It's a different state. Uh-huh. You can literally go to San Diego from that time. So,
I didn't really have Inland Empire.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. If you don't know, IE is Inland Empire.
San Bernardino, Riverside.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth mentioning ever.
What?
Inland Empire. I've never enjoyed going there. I'm like, why is this here?
It's far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so me, Melissa and I, for the most part, outside of that, we just used to go to the movies with the boys. So, we didn't have no couple friends, right? Before Scotty and D, or outside Scotty and D?
Yeah, I would say no. ADD is a lot of single young men.
Joshy times 50 people.
No, yeah, and they were a lot younger than us, and they don't really have children. And so.
So how was that for you?
I was just about to say, girl, how deep you want this episode to go? Because if I'm being honest, it was lonely.
Oh, wow.
It's very, like, isolating to be removed from your family, not have friends here. There's no footprint here. Mm-hmm. And then I am one of those people that my 9-to-5 friends are my 9-to-5 friends.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I clock out...
Don't text me.
We're not friends like that. I am that weird person. All my coworkers are like, Melissa, we're friends now. Because, like, obviously none of us work there because the place is closed down. But before, I would be like, don't find me on social media. I'll never tell you what I do.
And, hilarious.
Like, at this point, I know you from the hours of my office hours. From 9 to 5.
Nice,
right.
Nice.
At 8:59, if you see you passing me in the parking lot, I do not know who you are.
Right.
At 5:01 and I plucked out, I do not know who you are. So yeah, it was very, like, every weekend was kind of, I don't know, it was weird. Even when Kevin and I had this conversation once, he would try to invite me to, like, his work stuff. And I'm like, I don't know these people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not kind of, like, in the same world, so to speak. They're much younger. They're not married. They don't have kids. And so that's a different, I don't know, it's just a different dynamic to, like, connect with someone when you recognize, like, oh, girl, I'm tired too. Because, like, my son had a science fair project that I don't want to do. And somehow I was roped into doing it. It's just a different connection. So yeah, it was very, like, lonely and isolating.
Wow.
Really up until my sister came out.
I bet.
You know, because that was, it's just also the nature of LA can breed competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it can breed, is this a come up? Like, we were just having this conversation, yeah. Like, emailed us. And I'm like, if you email us to be on the show, but you don't follow none of us, but you tell me in the email you're a fan...
Make that make sense.
Something in the milk ain't clean. Like, it's
something
not,
in the milk ain't clean.
Yeah, the math ain't mathing.
I mean, if you ain't following me, who are you following?
Right.
I mean, so silly. I'm me.
I just don't understand it.
And to make matters worse.
Yeah, that was my answer.
In Washington, we have my brother, his wife, their whole family. Melissa's middle sister, her kids, her family, plus high school friends. Plus church friends. So we had a good amount of friends. Uh-huh. So it was a very stark contrast going from that amount. And also, LA is huge. Like, my brother lived...
Basically maybe, in the IE. He wasn't that far.
No, I mean... Washington. In Washington. Yeah, because so my brother lived here for about a year or so. But he lived in the IE. And I was just like, bruh, kids got school in the morning.
Right.
But back in Washington, we lived... less than 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Melissa's sister lives less than 10 minutes away. So we never had to worry about a babysitter. We end up going to a lot of parties at Chuck E. Cheese. So many times we went to Chuck E. Cheese.
I bet.
Because all of us had about the same amount of money. And Chuck E. Cheese was like, man, here, y'all.
Y'all did all this right down the street from us.
Huh?
They did most of this, yeah, down the street.
All what?
When y'all were like, a mile from us.
Oh, when you sent me the address to do the podcast, I was like, y'all live right, y'all live before the closest grocery store.
Right.
That we always go to.
It was a bike ride.
No,
I double checked the address when you sent it. I was like, maybe I just put my house in backwards. I was like, because, well, we didn't know. We didn't know nobody lived out here.
We didn't know. So, what do you feel like has changed? Do you still feel isolated?
Not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we were talking to, we're working on this project. I don't know if I can say it yet, so I just won't say it.
Yeah, just don't say it. That's okay.
What project?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was telling the lady that specifically during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, I think I had like low grade depression. Mm. I'm thoroughly convinced. And it was a feeling of, like, when I think back on it, it was a feeling of lonely. To be honest,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I don't know how else to explain it. And it's so interesting because I was never alone.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm listening.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's her. Yeah. Her has a song about that.
Why? What she
I
said?
Feel alone even when we're alone. Mm-hmm. Wish you would just focus on me.
Mm-hmm. Food is delicious.
It's smacking.
Oh, huh?
Food's delicious.
I'm happy. Food I'm is? Also, yeah.
Just in general?
Well, yes, it's but I'm talking about the food that I just had.
I'm nervous.
Turkey, burger, egg, everything on it.
Excuse me.
Excuse.
Hey, sis.
For you?
Yeah.
Okay.
This ain't giving what it's supposed to
oh,
get.
Peach, you. Trash. There's notes of peaches.
That's going to be a poster.
Let's see.
Even what I'm supposed to get.
Or it's good.
It's all right?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like that one?
No, I don't know what it is.
I mean, it looks like it's not going to be the greatest thing when something's that color.
Can't really go wrong with, can't really go wrong with peach Bellini.
That's how I feel. What do you think about it?
You don't like all that bubbles?
Custom. Yeah, I'm going to let it sit
yeah,
for a while.
It's like medicine.
Yeah, I don't know what they did wrong.
I'm going to let it sit.
There were so many like opportunities
maybe
to
if
go
put
left.
Over
and they
sparkling water, it won't be as bad. It was so funny. I mentioned it on Here's the Thing.
Were you sure?
I was kidding. Josh does not exclusively date older
women. Are you saying, are you doing a tour of this?
You have to.
Because it started over here.
But I declared that you added to the bonus.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he doesn't exclusively date older white women. He dates all white women of any age.
He doesn't exclusively.
No, he is definitely not an ageist at all. No, I was just kidding with Josh. Josh dates whatever he wants to date, whenever he wants to date them.
Specifically Chloe.
Specifically Chloe Bailey. Because her butt was looking amazing. I was
it
like,
wasn't just her booty. I was like, ma'am.
The whole thing was a...
God
just,
bless her.
Did you add her?
Add her?
I mean,
at this point, he's shooting from the parking lot.
Well, I was thinking,
literally...
I almost added you in the comments.
Have you ever chance. Thrown a rock as a kid and accidentally hit something? Hey, throw
that
rock.
He said better.
Josh, if you end up dating Chloe
Break
Bailey right
that
now,
window.
I feel raise like, her profile.
I feel like the stage crew could make this happen. Because I almost added you.
Attention.
That's all I'm saying.
I believe. They're already in the comments.
Yeah, I almost added you, and I was like, Joshua may not appreciate it, so let me screenshot it instead.
I'm telling
and
you.
You're in the industry. Usually people in the industry only date people in the industry.
I wanted that job more so that I could introduce the two of you together more than me actually like wanting to act again. Yeah.
I just need that inside in. That's
you do.
That's
this is the thing, Joshua. I don't.
Come on, I love it.
Stop it.
I'm gonna do it every time. She...
I don't know if you're ready for Chloe.
I don't know either.
Oh,
you seen that video of that dude getting twerked to get to the club? She knocked him into the club. Too much too soon.
She is too much too soon.
She's a lot, but I think Josh sometimes be playing.
Hey, Josh
this
got
little...
some, Josh
put
got
the gold
some
chain back on, Josh.
I know.
Yeah. Gold chain Josh.
Champagne Vinny, gold chain
for,
Josh.
The thing that I would be ready for would be everything that comes around with
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
In that attention.
You'd be Joshy Bailey.
No. Oh, you're talking about on the internet?
The last name so cool. Yeah. No, I'm scared.
I hyphenate that thing. I'm progressive.
He said, I actually going to get the tattoo filled in next week.
That's funny.
Okay, but you were saying you weren't alone, but you felt alone.
Yeah, no, I definitely, there was definitely at the very beginning of the whole pandemic where I felt very isolated and alone.
Right. What?
I was trying to say 2 minutes because Kevin asked it.
Oh, I thought it was 2 minutes left of recording. I'm sorry.
No, 2 minutes to tell the first ad.
The first ad.
He said bye.
Dear God. Almighty. Marcus, go ahead and talk. Maybe that'll help you in this whole... I'm like, what are you... 2 minutes.
I didn't know Kev asked that, my bad. I don't see nobody but your side of your face. I don't know what's going on.
Shut your mouth.
Closed off.
See, okay, no, but for real, you go ahead and talk. What has it been like for you?
Hell, I don't like people.
Let me tell you what's funny. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. When Marcus came to our house, when Amar was being the Republican, and he said, don't y'all dare think about moving to Atlanta. Melissa, what you like? Knitting? I'll learn to knit. Y'all. I said,
keep
Marcus.
Your black
here.
Nah, for real. Like, that's the thing. Like, I've made friends over the years from being out here. But, like, first moving out here, it was same boat Melissa was in. It was Angel's friends and Angel's industry co-workers / friends. That's all I knew. That's all I was around.
Yeah, because I didn't have any, when we first moved out here, I didn't have anyone outside of my profession that was my friends. I didn't, hadn't met.
No, you had people you went to school
with. Oh, no, yeah. I had those that's in my profession. I did have a couple of sorors that were friends, like Lauren. But most everybody, I knew them because of my.
I knew Lauren until, like, after the apartment.
Okay.
That was a year, like, well after the apartment, not, like, as soon as we got the house. So, like, yeah, even your, like, friends, I knew of them. Like, she had, like, sorority sisters and everything that she'd kick it with. I knew of them, but I didn't really know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was, like, all Angels people. Then I slowly, because I started working out like crazy, so I met people at the gym. And, you know, I'd go out with them every now and then. But that wasn't even my dynamic because it was, like, a bunch of single dudes and me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, eh. Not really my thing.
Not merely your crowd?
No. Especially guys in L.A., it's like teenagers in grown men bodies.
Literally, man.
Like, I've seen it. I'm just like, y'all act like y'all have never been or seen women before. This is crazy. But so it was always a turn off because I'm just like kicking back and I ain't trying to hold the friend over while you try to get somebody else's. Nah. So anyway, it was like a long time, and I got really close with a lot of Angel friends, but same thing with Liz. Like, when I first came out here, it took me probably about 6 to 7 years to stop hating California.
Right.
Really?
Yes. I could, when I first moved out here, I probably went home once a month.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Like, people back home was like, did you even move? I'm like, yeah, I moved.
California was so...
I hated it. It was like the simple stuff. Like, I get my driver's license. In Kentucky, when you go get your driver's license, you walk out of the building with a hot laminated driver's license. That day.
Oh, yes. That's how it used to be. But
I came out here. Hey, you wanted me to talk. I'm talking.
Well, no. I actually was trying to segue into an ad, but you don't even feel it. So let me just pause.
You set it up. You set it up. Oh, you going to keep going about that?
I was like, it's so... Which, when you need for a situation, is good toilet paper.
Is that right?
That's
what do you
right.
need, Angel?
You need reels, and we can't wait to tell you more about it right now.
You know what I hate running out of, Marcus?
What's that?
Toilet paper.
That's awful.
And it's so inconvenient. Yeah. Like, as far as in, like, day-to-day life, that is one of the things that will irritate me the most, is if when it's time for me to use the restroom and I look, and there ain't no paper, I'm going to blow a gasket.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I'm so excited about Real Paper sponsoring this episode. One thing that we've also started to work on in our house, especially with our younger son being so passionate about it, is sustainability and really doing what's best for this planet. And Real brings about such ways that you're able to be more eco-friendly and more sustainable. One, it's a tree-free toilet paper. It's made of 100% bamboo.
Bamboo.
And it's zero plastic, meaning there is no plastic in the packaging at all. Even the tape they use is made of paper.
That's impressive.
Now, the best part of Real Paper is that they deliver it right to your door. Oh, my goodness. You could just tell them how often you want them to ship you toilet paper, and so you will never run out again. Like, so you ain't got to buy, you know, bulk toilet paper in bulk where you're buying 100 rolls.
Especially have a closet just for the toilet paper.
Right. No, you don't need that. You can get the amount of toilet paper you need and then just have them ship more right before you run out. Every roll purchase helps fund access to clean toilets to those in need. And Reels is delivered with free shipping. Goodness gracious. This is so dope.
It's getting better and better.
Okay, so this is what we want you to do. Use our code, our coupon code, TBTB.
TBTB.
To receive 25% off your first order at realpaper.com. And that's spelled R-E-E-L-P-A-P-E-R.com. Again, use our promo code or coupon code, TBTB.
TBTB.
To receive 25% off your first order at realpaper.com. Thanks for sponsoring this episode. Now back to the show.
Oh, okay. You're going to drink. So for me, it was a...
the carbonation. Make it flat, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Talk to him.
What was I saying?
On my face. I don't know. You the one that said that you wanted to keep talking. To
it was the friends. Yes.
Thank you. Walk out of the DMV with a hot laminated license, right? Get here, go to the go stand in line. Everybody's mad. People in the DMV got an attitude. Go get my license, right?
Woo!
Of course, they give you a little paper one. It's gonna be in 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You gotta wait. I'm like, all right. It comes in. They spelled my name wrong.
Oh no!
Guess what? Got to redo the process all over again.
As if it's
from
your
that
fault.
Point, I said this place can burn.
Oh, so you started off pissed off.
Pissed off. And on top of that, it was the people. Oh my bad. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The people. It's like, you know, in Kentucky, it don't matter what walk of life they are. You walk past, if you make eye contact with somebody, mm-hmm. you speak. Mm-hmm. You walk in the store, you speak, you mm-hmm. hold the door open for people. Out here, I don't know what people thought I was trying to sell them something. You know, women clutching their purses. Even when I see especially older black people, I see black people, I speak.
Yeah.
They look at you like, well, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Greg, I'm like, talking about the same thing.
Everybody out here, I hate them.
Hello.
If you
everybody out here, I hate them.
Hate you, like you are still. I can't
you
stand
are scum
you.
Beneath my
yes,
soul.
You are the voided, horrible people that God don't like. That's just how it came out because of ours. It's really fast paced, which I adjusted to. But like the people alone, I'm like I can't stand it out here. And finally, I saw this one guy. He explained it to me. He was like, "Man, you got to understand. There's a lot of people." He said, "I think he was from." Virginia. I don't know where he was from. Somewhere in Midwest South. And he
Midwest Southeast.
Midwest or South? It's like right there in that region.
Oh, that's only two places.
Yeah. Virginia, Columbia, you know.
Yeah. He said a bunch of places. Go ahead.
Anyway, he was just saying there's a lot of people, they have to train themselves to not get scammed because everybody's want something. Everybody can, you know, can looking to take advantage of somebody. I'm like, well, I ain't looking to take advantage of no goddamn bad. So then as soon as I, you know, switch over, because I ain't always been like this. As soon as I switch over to the mark, all of a sudden now I fit in. I'm serious. As soon as I start ignoring people, I start letting the door close on people behind me. He's from here.
He said, let the door close on
people. Yes, that's what he does.
Yeah, now. I don't do none of that stuff now. Yeah, so now I fit in, but now it's I'm not quick to make friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still really close with all my friends back home. And, you know, a lot of my friends come out here and visit, but now it's like, we've met y'all. It's like, I tell y'all all the time, like, I don't like people. When I have people that I like, that I'm like, consider a friend, I'm like, no, you don't understand. You are an actual friend. This ain't, like, I have friends that out here, Angel's friends, my friends, they, like, consider anybody that they're around. It's like, oh, we hang out with them. Oh, that's my friend. Is it your friend, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your, what's their last name?
Yeah.
You know anything about them?
Yeah.
Have you been around them more than once or twice? Is that really your friend? I don't just call people friend. Same with Liz. I don't hang out with people at work. I probably have one or two people that I would consider like a friend that I've made at work. They go do things after work. It's like, oh, we're going here. Y'all have a good time. Hey, you not going?
You at nine.
Nah.
Yes.
Hey, we started a softball team.
He's Swanson.
Cute. We're going to play the other project. Let me know how it goes tomorrow.
Let
work.
Me know how it goes.
Like
tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not in that environment. You know, it's things that we create. It would be a lot easier probably to make friends, like doing things professionally.
Mm-hmm.
But the career that I'm in, yeah, that's
not you work by yourself before the pandemic? I know you had your own office basically the whole year, but before that was it?
No, it was in the office.
Was it like around people?
It was around people.
Oh, yeah, around
people. He's always been around people. It's not been isolated.
Oh, boy.
It's not been isolated.
Got it.
What about you? Because you have a different personality than these two.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I was like, would I consider... Well, the distinction that you guys made is after work. And I don't think... I didn't really hang out with all deaf people after work that much. Like, I went to lunch. You know, there was a year there. I went to lunch with the same people every day. But outside of, like, company parties, there was a lot of stuff that all deaf people did with each other that I never went to.
But you like, were doing stand-up at night, though, too.
Not out here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you weren't. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really even a part of the stand-up community like
and
that.
And he was gone every weekend doing stand-up.
Yeah, when we first moved here, because I had been doing 4 or 5 shows a week in Washington. And Melissa was like, I know you ain't gonna move to this new city and have me out here in a weird place. And also the LA stand-up scene without some friends and ends and the time to hang around in the clubs, it's hard to break into, at least at that time.
Uh-huh.
So I knew who Tony Baker was, but I mean, that wasn't my friend. You know, I didn't really get to know Tony well till the tour, really. I mean, at All Deaf, we chop it up, but like, I was friendly with a lot of people. But I wouldn't, like, until you basically come to my house, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I mean, like, there's a lot of people who, when we do the 90s party.
First of all, I've been killing your parties.
Yeah.
You have. You have.
I'm sorry.
Listen, Josh knows.
That just reminds
me. I had the last year.
Oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
No, no.
Oh,
cut me a river.
No, listen.
Last year.
The wine and the cheese.
I'm not doing it. No, fine, man. You just keep winning. I mean, I'm going to compete with you now.
That's fine.
But last year, I had the best year ever planned, and it was all ruined. But anyway, I don't know that I had friends like that from work.
For real? Okay.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of the early time at All Deaf, and I was like, I don't know if I had, like, there was a lot of people coming to my house and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So I tend to get along with people quickly. Melissa had, I remember there was my birthday party in the 90s birthday party.
Uh-huh.
Karaoke
was so amazing.
That door was ringing like, you remember the Ricky Lake show? And she would be talking and it would be like, ding dong, surprise, your baby mama's here.
Right.
That's how that door was ringing.
Once it got to the point that I didn't know them at all. People were inviting people who weren't. So I remember I was talking to a dude, I'll never forget this, he was sitting by the door, and this is in our old small house, and he was eating and had a drink, and he was like, man, this party's lit. You know the dude whose birthday it is? I was like, nah, man, he seems nice. So he was like, woo-hoo. And I was like, this is too big.
Yes.
But I don't think I ever felt the same loneliness as Melissa felt.
Uh-huh.
I've had friends come over to the house. I've had... All deaf, there was kind of what Melissa said. There's a lot of like Joshy age people, but I went to lunch with the same group of people every day. You know, what we did not have that I especially like with Marcus and Angel is a married couple friends with small kids. Outside of Scotty and Dee, we didn't have a lot of people.
No,
Scotty Dee had a son that used to hang tough with Zay Zay. And Joe, and they had a great time. And Joe and the boys have their own friends.
Yeah.
But like, y'all little kids, that reminds me of Washington, because my brother had, at one time, 7 kids. We had 2.
Not at one time. He still has 2.
Well, I mean, like, at 7 kids with him at the same house.
Yeah, same house. Yeah, that's
true. For the majority of the time, he had, at minimum, 2. Nick had 2 within 3. Keita had 2. So there was always at least 5 kids, wherever we were.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just... All of our houses were around the same size, so it wasn't just all the way at our house.
1,200 square feet for
it. Yeah. So there was a lot of... The sounds your kids make in there is what our house used to sound like. A lot of bumps in the night.
Upstairs.
Crying. Just a lot of random stuff. So this now makes it feel more like back home in Washington. Uh-huh. When the kids be over, McKinley be over, Riley be over, and the adults are downstairs listening to loud music. And the kids are upstairs sweating and being musty. I'd be like, yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about.
But you would say that, like, lonely isn't how you would describe it. It was just you didn't have the type of friends you had.
I wouldn't say lonely, but what I will say is I had adapted, even prior to the Real Comedians Tour, I had adapted to having a certain amount of my time to myself on the road. And the pandemic, the weird... adjustment was like, why do I want to be by myself when I never get to see my family? Why am I still like, I want to go in my office and watch TV and I don't want to be bothered? That was a weird, that was hard to reconcile. Because I'm usually, I had that on the road or by myself. But then when I came home, it was like, okay, let me spend as much time with my family as possible because I'm going back out, you know, this weekend. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't going back out for this foreseeable future. And I was like, why do I still want to be in the room by myself? And then at the same time, we moved into a new house and the boys had their own room for the first time with a bathroom inside of it. And they stopped coming out of their room. And that was just, now it's four people in a house in four different rooms with three doors closed. Melissa doesn't really, actually never really goes into a room and closes the door. Actually, I can't think of you ever doing that.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about that when you said that.
Yeah.
I was like, if we were to ever get to the situation to where all of them had their own room, I would not put a TV in their rooms.
Really?
Because that's their video games right there. Well, yeah. It's now the cell phone, too.
My kids ain't turning the TV on in ages.
Right.
Unless they're casting the
cable all their games and phones to a common area in the house.
Yeah.
You know what? Whenever we do get a new house, what I do want to get the kids.
What?
Magic spoon.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I love
this
it.
This is our next ad for this Bald and the Beautiful podcast. We can't wait to tell you about it. Check it out.
For anybody that knows me, they know that I will get home from work or a long day of doing whatever, and I will enjoy me a good bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
However, now I can get home and enjoy me a good bowl of cereal, and it can be guilt-free.
Good for you. It's a good bowl of cereal. Good for you.
Good for you. Delicious. Scrumptious, even.
Scrumptious. And that is because of our sponsor, Magic Spoon. All of us are very much so in love with this brand, okay? Because it allows us to live out our childhood with also recognizing that we are grown adults and there's some things that we do not need to be having extra of in our diet.
Yeah, don't nobody want grown-up cereal. You want kids cereal. And that's exactly what Magic Spoon tastes like. It's delicious.
But it's 0 grams of sugar, only 13 to 14 grams of protein, or 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving.
In case you didn't hear it, 0 grams of sugar.
0 grams of sugar. And you guys, it's only 140 calories a serving. It's also keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. You ain't gonna find that nowhere but Magic Spoon. I'm telling you, they are amazing. Thanks. And they have some great flavors. They have cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Okay. And a lot of people, they like to mix the chocolate with the peanut butter because it gives them like a Reese's Pieces or Reese's Pieces, like peanut butter cup type of flavor.
It's delicious.
So we want you to give it a try. Be able to have the cereal that you and your kids will love and not have all that sugar and get protein, like getting protein out of cereal. Where they do at it? Magic Spoon. So this is what we want you to do. Go to magicspoon.com/TBTB to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code TBTB at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund you your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/TBTB and use the code
TBTB
to save $5 off. And we thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. All right, back to the show. So for you, it was hating the place that started you out. For you, it was the loneliness. And you don't even know what was going on.
I wasn't really tripping.
Interesting, right. Kev is like, I probably would have felt lonely, but I'm such an introvert anyway. So I'm used to kind of withdrawing back unless I want to be somewhere. And then I'm like, all right, let me go get around with people.
Yeah.
But out here, it's just like, I had the choice to be around people, so I feel fine. When the pandemic hit, I lost that option. And then I started missing people. Yeah.
was like, I need to be around some people. I want the option to say no.
Yeah.
And I don't have that option no more. They done took it away.
No just been decided for you. Yeah. For months and months and months on end.
You know, for me, moving out here.
Tell us.
Because I was the first one of you four to move out here. I moved out here by myself.
No, I moved out here by myself in 2000. When did you come?
Whenever you
I couldn't even get my dog online together because I was trying to do the math of 17 years. I was like, is that 2005, 3?
I got out here. 89 is when I came out here by myself.
Me and Steven Spielberg was down at the Comedy Store. We said, DreamWorks, you have them, I work them.
Dreaming. I moved out here in 2003, but I went I was going to grad school, so that kind of helped already with me developing some sort of connection to people because it was like a conservatory program, so we were with each other all day long.
What does a conservatory program mean?
It's very concentrated in the field that you are going into. So instead of being focused on the liberal arts stuff, like it was fine arts.
Hyper focused?
Yes.
No electives, nothing like that?
No. I mean, it's a master's, so you usually don't have it, but that's the best way to describe it is like if you went to a conservatory for music, you're going to be studying.
So all them
music.
10 people was in a lot of your classes too?
It was 8 of us because you operate as a class.
Oh, that's how my, at UW, the MFA program.
Yeah.
There was like 8 or 9 of them, and they were the teachers. They were in all the plays. They switched off being lead and background.
Exactly.
And all that.
It
was
like these that. People used to do.
You're so stupid. You're so stupid.
Blew my mind.
The what they used to do?
The stuff that they used to
and
do.
And we were weird theater people. So, yes, they had us doing weird theater people stuff.
Oh, the weirdest. God.
Theater people.
Bennett. Nerds. Bennett and
Amelia
came up with this program.
Oh, yeah. That's how it was.
They created the program. Y'all don't even know.
They would be rolling their own tobacco cigarettes. Like, why?
That sounds about right.
Why, though?
That just showed up in my memories, by the way.
Did it? Mm-hmm. I thought that was the weirdest thing. Like, yeah, man, because you know we get connected with the earth.
If you're smoking a cigarette, I'd rather it be rolled. I'd rather see you roll it than just pull it out the pack.
Because you're old.
Yeah, I'm old.
You love old. Hey, Angel said, when we first met you, she said, Marcus, love old-timey stuff.
You do. Anything old, he's into it.
Listen to my playlist.
The theater people aren't my people. Even though I am a theater person, they aren't my people. A lot of them don't have similar life experiences. So I only had, I definitely say I had genuine friendships with all of them. There was only one theater person there that had similar experiences to me, and that was Wendell. So he was the friend that, like, I stayed very close to graduating out of.
He was in your class?
He was the year ahead of me.
Oh, okay, got it.
Graduating out of, and so me and him, his friendship was close then, but it became closer once we came up to LA because we were both navigating it. Like, he's the one who helped me pick out the terrible apartment that me and Marcus lived in. Neither one of us noticed there was only one drawer in the kitchen.
The entire kitchen, one
drawer.
Drawer.
We got ready.
So wait, when Marcus got here, you already had the apartment?
Yes.
So yeah, Marcus noticed in 0.7 seconds.
Yeah, no, she was calling me. It was like, all right, I'm going apartment hunting and looking for this, and that. She was like, take pictures and just let me know about the place. She was like, yeah, I found one. Me and Wendell, we went and looked at it.
Because it was a price range, because I knew he was going to be culture shocked.
Oh,
he had a house. We're not going to go through the whole story.
No, we want to know the whole story. We developing our friendship. I need to know the whole thing. What color socks did you have on when you started?
White. They were always white. Nothing better than a clean pair of white hands. So I was renting a house down the street from my parents, which parents live in a very nice neighborhood. The lady, luckily my dad.
Marcus, that's his experience.
Their parents made bad decisions. And
that's true. That's 100%
true. You ain't wrong, you're about to say it.
Hey, yours too.
Listen, even swap ain't no swindle.
my parents knew the lady. This lady, she was going to work in Washington for like a year and a half. And she
D.C.
was,
State.
D.C. And she was looking for somebody to rent a house. And she couldn't find anybody that she trusted. So then my dad told her, like, hey, my son's looking for a place or whatever. She was like, okay, I'll just get him the house sit. Because first she gave me a price, and I'm like, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
She was like,
who was you going to get your apartment for? Because I had already gotten approved for an apartment. She was like, that's what I charge. You just take care of my house.
What?
On the come up.
Oh, this right? This helped to it make you a, hate L.A.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
You still thinking about that? It was
in a cul-de-sac. I came in. I said, oh, you got some water damage. I fixed that for him. I was having parties. Daddy was like, don't be having no parties. I ain't got nothing to do with you. And I got a contract with her.
3-bedroom, 3-bath, 2-car garage. Just
no backyard neighbor. It was a farm behind me.
You was living.
Yeah. It was a farm behind me. Horses would come up to the fence.
Really?
Huh?
What'd
you say? Oh, no, I thought you said the price.
That's why I was like. Oh, no, when you hear the price, you'll
die. Yeah.
Apartment out here that we would get, we got was $1,200.
It was $1,200 for our 2-bedroom, 2-bath with a loft.
Okay.
And roaches.
Yeah. And everybody that lived out here
roaches
came to
roaches come standard issue in LA, by the way.
Standard issue.
Roaches.
Everybody that came to the apartment that was so impressed that lived out here, oh my God, I'm like, this is filthy. I was renting that house for $4.95 a month.
The fact that you moved here, you loved Angel.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Because you came for almost three times.
Yeah.
Kev.
2 1/3.
I resent Angel. I wake up in the morning, I open my eyes, and I just smirk.
No, he don't, because he's sitting here doing this. Listen, he knows the come up was the come up. Yeah.
No, that was hard. I bet that was hard to let go.
Young and dumb.
By the way, we never, I think my first apartment was $585.
Yep.
Melissa and I's first apartment that we like moved into together was $650.
I was going to say $625, between $625
and
$650.
And you was living in that doggone apartment was that big. You open the door, the whole thing, you've seen it. Bathroom, bedroom, living room,
kitchen.
That
apartment is as big as this.
Actually, this might be bigger than our apartment.
It's about this.
I'm talking about.
Probably like 2,500,
2,600
square feet.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Our apartment was like,
I would have threw that dream out the window and this is it.
Man, I tell you, our first apartment was, it had two doors in it. One, you go out, bathroom, we thought, oh, you got a master entry. Yeah. 612 feet.
Yes.
Josh.
That thing
and Marcus had a home.
500 square feet.
He had a home.
With a garage.
A garage.
My whole apartment would probably be your garage.
The upstairs was like open, so the hallway was like the.
Yeah, you could look over into the down to the living room.
That. The downstairs was
how long did you get to live there?
It was over a year. It was a
year.
Was
it over a year? Good. It didn't feel like it was over a year.
I know it didn't to you, babe. I had Angel all over that house.
The way you said it, I she wasn't just visiting.
Hey. The deck was the only place because like, you could see my parents' house from the deck.
This is in what city?
Lexington.
Lexington?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You'll have to, when you come into town, we'll have to show you when we
go
on the tour.
We got a show in June in Lexington.
Yes.
Yeah, and Melissa's dad's house, I bet, is much like yours. I mean, just land.
Yeah.
His house just goes into the back, and then it's just woods.
It just keeps going.
you could go get, there's a creek back there.
Yeah.
All type
Does
of stuff.
Does nobody know what a creek
is? People don't know nothing about no creeks.
What? Why are you saying it like that? I'm like, that's what it is, a creek.
I used to play in the creek all the time. All right, we'll see y'all later.
All right, I'll see y'all in a bit.
All right.
The delay is funny.
Your draws is showing. Right. You dummy.
That would be my butt. My draws don't help at all. My draws
like it's warm down here.
My draws take
I bought
down.
The draws y'all told me are made specifically for plumber's class.
My Did butt was work? Like, no, they tried to work for a little bit. And then my butt was like, oh, this is
But there's crazy. There's a specific brand that y'all in the comments was recommending. It did not work.
Butts are us?
My butt's undefeated.
Yes, that was
they
the
work
brand.
Better, though, but my draw's going to sink down. I ain't got
it
no waist.
Work
I got
better.
No hips.
You have a... It's a problem.
It's a problem.
You got inverted
hips? It's a problem. I know for me, it was a mar. Can I finish the episode? You want a nurse? He's such a swole brat. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I know for me,
so sweepy.
It was what was difficult was finding people at the same place that I was in life. Mm. So coming out here as a, like when I was in grad school, it was fine. I wasn't engaged. But then after I graduated, I was engaged.
Right.
I was getting married. And, you know, you got to be like 40 years old to do that out here.
Right.
It became a thing of like trying to find, while I had great friends, or friends that I liked, they were just in a different place in life. Like, even when we went to buy our first house, people still had roommates, which there's nothing wrong with that, but right. we just in different, I got different problems, different conversations are happening.
100%.
So 100%. Only a few people was I able to keep a close connection to that didn't have similar things going on in life. But I'm the type that I will hunt down black people. I'll do whatever I have to. The reason why y'all say Angel knows so many people, because I was looking for them.
That Mocha Moms?
Mocha Moms. I was like, where are y'all? Where are the black mamas with kids? Because I had little Marcus, and I was like, I don't want him to be a weirdo, and all he know is me. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, that just, it didn't sit well. He had a bunch
Went to, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We went to a church, and there was 8,000 people, 800 people in there. And there was 9 kids in children's church. And we were like,
nope.
What?
That must have been one church.
Girl, how you know?
I was trying not to.
No, I talk about them all the time. I call them onesie. Because the people in there are young.
That's so true.
They still got
breast
milk.
It is a church of young people.
That's where I was going.
Literally in life. Right in. And literally in their walk in Christ.
I was like, oh my. Movie theater?
Listen, yes. when the young lady came up in there with her booty shorts and thigh high boots on. And they were crump praise dancing at the altar during praise and worship.
I said,
this is not where we belong.
I saw Diddy there.
We saw Tina Knowles there.
Diddy was probably looking for his next
Common
girlfriend.
Was there.
Stop that. Common was there the Common day he won an Oscar.
Yes.
He went from church to the Oscar. Tank sang praise and worship behind me and Melissa.
I remember you said
that.
That's
that
a good joke.
Though.
That's a good joke.
I need to write that down.
I could feel the spirit of desperate for a man in there. And I said, somebody going to get confused and think my husband is their man and I'm going to have to kill him. Mm-hmm. So that was the last time we visited. Last time. I said, oh, no.
I love them, though.
This is prior to his current marriage. But he still seemed, this is actually prior to their current location that we went.
Oh, y'all went when it was over in North Hollywood?
That's when you was there, kid.
That's when me and Zayze was going there for, when he was shooting Little Rascals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's where we, that was also hard, trying to find a church home.
Oh,
especially
my
lifelong friends, I know from church.
All of our friends in Washington that we hung out with on a consistent basis went to church. Went to our church.
Yes.
We all, in high school, was I in high school or college?
That what you're going to say?
That when I joined.
No, high school.
We all joined this church in high school.
Yeah. Mm.
And we was doggone 28, 29. Keita, our homegirl who came to the house.
Uh-huh.
That's our friend from high school. She
ran track together.
Wow.
Ran track together on the doggone same relay team. Mm. Her and Melissa's next sister down went to the same college.
Passing the baton, one to each other. Mm.
Zay Zay's basketball team, we actually played basketball. One? Her kids, Nick kids, Keita's kids, Jason kids. Our kids of our friends group made up 7 of the 10 or 11 basketball teams.
Yeah.
Wow.
And me and Jason were the coaches.
Yeah.
So it was real, and we used to run these little kids out the gym. I'm talking about, we were the black team.
Yes.
In Washington. They were like, how y'all know each other? Don't worry about that. Everybody getting blown out. But it was, seriously, though.
No thanks to our kids.
Literally, because it was like Keita's sister and her kids. That's like how we did it. So, and the thing is, when we moved here, it was such a dramatic change.
Yeah.
And not having the friends and not having a church we were comfortable with, because we didn't go to one church right away. And then we were going to a lot of different churches. And then we also, I can't hold you, man. We didn't really realize how big L.A. was.
Yeah.
When we visited L.A., like for vacation, we were pretty much always in the Hollywood area.
Mm-hmm.
We never stayed in Hollywood. We just came and did all the stuff in Hollywood.
Right.
When we moved here, we stayed in the Valley, got a house in the Valley. But then we were like, oh, let's go to church. And we went to like Noel Jones'
City
church.
City of Refuge, so did City we.
Man, that thing was coming home. It was like 2 hours.
It was forever and a day. It was just so
it
long.
It was so, once I passed the airport and I still got 30, 40 minutes
to go. Driving
past,
yeah.
Because the airport is as far as you should go.
Yes.
That's where you should.
Absolutely. I said the Holy Ghost got on the flight and left here.
Man.
By the time he said,
nobody preaches good enough for me to hit you for the 2 hour drive home.
Nah. Yeah. So that was huge for us. We were just like, because that was the other place where I figured, oh, I'll be able to find like-minded people who understand what I believe with marriage, yada, yada, yada.
And God was like, nah, you're not going to find that either.
You know what else is weird, too? This is the first church Melissa had picked on her own. Mm-hmm. I came to her church on her own. I was low-key like, I appreciate my parents for having to deal with all this crap.
Mm. Finding a church is the most stressful thing.
And we were super active in our home church. Mm. So we weren't just going to go to any old church and sitting there. We went to Dog on Shepherd on the Hill.
No. I was looking for a mega church when we moved here. I had so much church hurt that I was like,
you wanted something.
I wanted to be a sheep. I didn't want to be accounted for. Don't know my name.
We snuck right in.
The same cheers. Don't know who I am. My name. Nothing.
Walk in and walk out without talking to anybody.
Shepherd on the Hill. The pastor ain't even there for the last service.
It's bright. He's on the
drops down.
He's on the drop down. Which we thought y'all don't love the Lord. Yeah. This man ain't even here. He's down to another church.
That's exactly what I mean.
Melissa, tell him about some other bright stuff.
But the bright, you know what else is really bright? Your smile.
So Marcus, do you grind your teeth at night?
When I'm stressed, I do.
I do too.
Not even at night. All during the day. But yeah.
During the day you grind them?
And at night.
Well, you know what? There are so many other people that do this. There's about 40 million other Americans who grind their teeth, whether due to stress, anxiety, or an abnormal bite. Chronic teeth grinding will lead to worn enamel, tooth decay, sleeplessness, and expensive dental procedures. That's why we are so excited that this episode of The Bald and the Beautiful is sponsored by Smile Brilliant. Now, the way most dentists recommend to fix your grinding is for you to get custom-made trays, right? And y'all have seen them before, but I'm not sure if you knew this. They cost like $200 to $300 per tray. And then by the end of the year, you more than likely have to get new ones because you grind through those. It's not like they're made of cement and that you can't grind through them. Like you flatten those out too.
Eating through them.
Right. Well, Smile Brilliant has a way that you can help deal with grinding your teeth for a fraction of that cost. Using Smile Brilliant's lab direct process, you get the same custom fitted night guards for as little as $45 per guard. That's a huge difference, right? Yeah,
that's cheap.
Also, they offer custom fitted whitening trays and a Carry Pro electric toothbrush. So there's other items that you're able to get. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to head over to www.smilebrilliant.com and use the code BEAUTIFUL at checkout for 30% off. Once again, that's www.smilebrilliant.com and use BEAUTIFUL at checkout. Back to the episode.
She poured mine in this and then drank it.
Oh, because it's amazing. It was delicious. I'm sorry. I should have just got both Bellinis. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with a peach Bellini.
Peach Bellini. It's classic.
Yes. So it's so brunch. I'm at home. Just come
when the
over.
World opens up, we need to do a Rock Nation style brunch.
This was our idea prior to the pandemic. We were going to do a Rock Nation brunch for digital people, and we were planning it. And
I have the aesthetic. I just need Brie to execute it.
Oh, and that's
the digital brunch, I believe, will be so dope.
It's basically the NAACP Image Award for Social Media Personality.
I'm talking about for digital people, I'm not going to have you drinking a doggone Moscato at your computer.
People are doing it. That's why I'm saying absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm saying for digital people.
But what digital people?
They've been what?
Huh?
They were whack?
No, I'm just saying, which digital people?
Oh, we can curate the list. Y'all can curate the list. I just want to do the aesthetic.
It's not about...
You just think you're better than influencers because you're a trained actress.
Do they pay to get in?
911. It's exclusive invite only.
I hate you.
Okay, great, because it gets very expensive very quickly.
Yeah,
it'll be like
10
people.
Wait, on that invite only, is it a plus one?
So that's 10, please. So with the plus one, you get to 20.
I think it depends on who you are. Like, for instance, when Tyler Perry opened up his studios, certain people got plus ones. Certain people, you only come by yourself. Do not even call here asking about,
That's probably how they do it.
In fact, this is the customer service phone number if you want to say
anything. That's how you do it.
1-800, you can revoke your invitation.
How about, you want to bring somebody else? You don't come.
Right. Exactly.
Minus one, that's what you have.
Yes. Yes, so you can do it like that. But yeah, it's been, it's definitely been a road, and I feel like my friends have transitioned.
Transitioned their life?
No, not transitioned onto the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, who done passed?
I know. It's like, oh my God.
Which, what did it transition to?
Why did that thought not even cross my mind?
Did it?
No.
Well, she had did a little. She said, you're my friend done transition. And she looked down. I said, what did it
No. We
need to keep them home to breathe.
All but one is still alive. They, the rest of them are still here. No,
you mean
meaning.
Out of the industry?
No, out of my life.
Hello?
Oh,
out
girl.
Out of that
I
position. I mean, like, we're still, like, cordial. It's just, I feel like there have been seasons for some. And then, but no, like, hard feelings. It's just. Oh, we don't kick it like that anymore.
We don't even talk anymore.
No, that's true. I think life circumstances often dictate friendships in a season.
Yeah.
One thing that has been hard, specifically in LA, is that the friendships that you establish, like when you're in Kentucky and like these are the people you went to school with or you went to church with since you were a teenager, though they stand the test of transitions. Of course, some of those people can die off, but at least for me, at the time that I left, they had sustained, they'd weathered those transitions. And out here, you'd be like, dang, now you done messed up or you done moved or you done whatever. Yeah. And so then it just kind of those feelings start to come up again because you're like, dang, I'm out of friends again because like I'm in a new phase of life, or maybe they're in a new phase of life, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
That's why that doc, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That season of Insecure was like,
this is my life?
It really happened.
How y'all did this?
I mean, what happened before? Go ahead, babe.
Well, I was just going to say with them, it was kind of like hard feelings, but it sometimes it's really no hard feelings.
It's just changing. What happened back home prior to this, there were the, well, let me back up. The military often does that for you.
Yes.
Best friend. Your dad got orders. What? And this is often a lot of this was prior to social media. So these people was just gone. Then high school friends, when you go to college, they ain't your friends no more. Same thing happened in college. They ain't your friends no more. And then we went home to college. We kept all our high school friends from church, but there was no, like, all those other friendships dissipating were based off events. Mm. It wasn't ever based off of life-changing, if that makes sense. Mm. So that was just part of growing up that I didn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't anticipate. And that's just made more difficult by being in the public eye.
I was about it's to not ask actually how much more difficult do you feel like it is now?
So much more difficult because most people go through those changes, they are just not in public. So you're like, oh man, you know your friend girl, you know, we don't rock with them, we don't, you know, they change whatever. But when you're in the public eye, it's like, ooh, that becomes news. That's a hard thing to get adjusted to. Because you're just like, that ain't news. That's happened before in my life.
Right.
Now you the people making YouTube videos about it, that's weird.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was really struggling with my platform pretty much all of last year. At least from the pandemic, beginning of the pandemic till about when I got the Maserati.
Mm-hmm.
That 6 month period was big leap, plus therapy, plus being like, in no uncertain terms, F it. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. People gonna feel how they feel. But I was fine. That was when I got dragged. All of that happened in the same 6 months. And I was just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Boeing wasn't that bad. I mean, We got a little bonus, $3,500 around Christmas. We both got that bonus.
Boeing was bad for me though.
it was bad for you. I've never heard you say
it. I hated
Boeing.
I've
never heard that.
Ever that story. Yeah. I won't go into it a lot, but I will say that last year, one of the girls that I worked with were friends on Facebook, and it was during, of course, the whole civil rights movement of 2020. And one of the girls randomly—I'm trying to remember if she responded to something or she just randomly like wrote on my wall on Facebook and was like, I just want you to know that I apologize for not speaking up on behalf of you for the microaggressions and discrimination that you experienced at Boeing. Mm. And what's so funny is that I never attributed it to racism. Mm. Microaggression. I always just thought of it as just catty behavior because I worked with a bunch of women. And so I was just like, oh, they're just catty, mean girl energy. And I couldn't figure it out because it like came in that way. And I've never had a bad working relationship with anyone ever. Every job I've ever had, I have
before
and since. I've come in and been a stellar employee, never had a bad experience. That particular experience was so bad for me. And when she said it, I literally had tears in my eye. Number one, because it was like affirmation that my feelings were real.
Yeah.
You know, that I had a reason to feel how I was feeling. And then that she put a name to it. Mm-hmm. Like, all this time, I'm like, I don't know what I did to those girls, but they, like, just didn't like me. And probably. But it was just a lot of, like, microaggression. And again, that wasn't even, like, a popularized word at the time. You know, it's kind of a buzzword now. But it didn't cross my mind. And so for her to have said it, it just brought a lot of confirmation to those feelings. So, yeah, it was a horrible experience.
It was not my jam.
10 out of 10, mm-hmm. would not recommend. 0 out of 10.
I wouldn't have made it much longer in that department, or I would have quit Boeing completely when we left.
White manager was trying to fire me.
Who?
Kitty.
At Boeing?
That type of name, she definitely was.
She felt bamboozled because a black lady was championing for me. She got me an interview, and then they both were blown away. And I held it together until Zay Zay booked Little Rascals, and she was like, why do you keep wanting to go to L.A.? I was like, girl, what?
I don't want to be here.
At Key Bank, I learned, don't tell nobody about that dream stuff.
Sure enough.
Because I wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. But once they booked that movie, I was like, ooh.
Oh, my God. I was just on my ex-manager's Facebook, by the way.
Who?
From Boeing.
Literally
2 days ago. Yeah, she's married to a black guy.
I bet she is.
I can't wait. We ain't gonna have time to talk about it this episode, but I do want to know how much harder it is to make friends now that you all are in the public eye.
Because we don't make new friends.
No, we don't say that.
Y'all let us become friends.
That's it. Y'all, when y'all came in, Willy Wonka closed the door.
Yeah, I would say y'all were the last of the Mohicans.
I feel like the people done snuck in.
Y'all.
Josh been in.
Danny snuck in.
Danny snuck in.
I love Danny.
I remember when Danny came. I still remember y'all being late for McKinley's party. That was when y'all first met Danny.
Yep.
Danny was like, I am here.
Yeah.
Danny get was ready. Like, y'all, we going to be friends.
We get ready.
Tab and Chance and Toby.
You know what?
A lot of people.
That is a lot. Ain't nobody. Here's 7 additional people.
I was like, that was a lot of people that you just named.
Gavin Chess ain't been to the house.
But the other thing I wonder if it's because they're also industry people.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying makes it you're not sure?
I'm trying to give him an excuse because Chad, he said it was nobody and then he literally
It was just Angel and Marcus and Dad.
No, you know what? It would go off of you. How many new friends do you all have? Because Kev is almost like an industry person where people, he be saying people are friends and he's just like.
I don't.
But like.
Danny is your friend.
Yeah. But are we, are you saying outside of the people Kev just named?
Out of are all the people Kev named, would you be like, yes?
I talk to Danny literally almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that is like, so you would say she's like your first real friend out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I literally talk to Danny daily.
Melissa and her sisters are like you and your sister, though. Mm-hmm. Her and her sister are real friends.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are friends. And Mel and them come over the house all the time.
I see them every... But that's my sister.
I know, but I'm saying you don't have to look for other people because you'd be like, oh, my sister's just coming over.
Yeah, yeah,
so
that's
you ain't
true.
Searching for somebody.
Right. No, I wonder that especially for you all. I'm like, I know it has to be hard to know if people are genuinely wanting to be your friend or if they are just hoping that whatever you all esteem and prestige you all have sprinkles on them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sprinkle me, man.
Well, guys, that is the end of our mukbang. I know
my
we're
blast.
Missing half of, well, a quarter of the
missing
ball.
Half of the ball, though.
Half of the ball.
A quarter of the
all
whole
the
team.
Beautifuls here. Okay.
It's just...
Don't do the math.
Don't stop.
I was going to do TBNT.
Again, 33% of the people who watch my stuff are not subscribed to me. Confused.
Really?
That's a true. That's a true analytic.
People stop subscribing on YouTube.
It's not as big of a thing.
I watch Tiny Desk weekly. I am not subscribed to NPR.
Well, they're different. I am a person, and I want to see the number.
Correct.
With recommended.
And that's also it.
That's the problem.
You watch 3 doggone videos. YouTube's like, you'll see everything. And people don't remember that they're not
with all of that said, hit subscribe.
But all that being said.
Do what you gotta do.
JoJo don't subscribe to nobody. I said, how do you find people? The recommended. He scoffed at me. The recommended.
Well, until next time, we'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, bye Black. That chick angel. That chick angel. Boy, mommy, yo, she's comedy. Come get your.